This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Leaked versions of a House of Representatives report describes the preparation for and response to Hurricane Katrina as a national failure. Quote, an abdication of the most solemn obligation to provide for the common welfare. The report says there's plenty of blame to go around. At every level, individual, corporate, philanthropic, and governmental, we failed to meet the challenge, it said. But it places particular responsibility on the federal government as too passive, ill-informed, disjointed, and some say too focused on terrorism to prepare properly for natural disasters. The report will not be officially published until later this week, but earlier today, Michael Chertoff, the Secretary of Homeland Security, issued a partial response in a speech to a conference of emergency managers here in Washington.
In the last couple of days, I've read in some quarters that people are taking the position that DHS sees itself as a terrorism-focused agency, or that there's some huge difference between what we do when we deal with disasters that are triggered by evil acts of men and disasters that are triggered by acts of nature. I want to tell you I unequivocally and strongly reject this attempt to drive a wedge between our concerns about terrorism and our concerns about natural disasters. That kind of wedge makes no sense, and it does a disservice to all of you here who are working very hard to protect against any kind of disaster of whatever cause.
Meanwhile, the Senate continues an investigation of its own. President Bush has ordered a White House inquiry as well, but the leaked version of the House Select Committee's report is the first major investigation into what happened before, during, and after the storm that devastated the Gulf Coast 6 months ago. If you have questions about what's in it, where it assigns blame, and the remedies it prescribes, our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Email us, talk@npr.org. Later in the program, Trading Oswald the Rabbit and, oh, how the 70s rocked the Olympic opening ceremony. But first, the fallout from Katrina. And we begin with Bruce Alpert, a reporter with the New Orleans newspaper, The Times-Picayune. He's been covering this story from Washington, D.C. He's with us here in Studio 3A. Bruce, nice to have you on Talk of the Nation.
Thanks for having me.
Let's begin with this House report, a 600-page document on the response to and preparation for Hurricane Katrina. There are an awful lot of comparisons to the report of the 9/11 Commission, and those comparisons don't come off awfully well.
Not well at all. Total failure seems to be the bottom line for all levels of government, as you pointed out, particularly our federal government. And unfortunately for folks in Louisiana and in Mississippi, this report didn't come as a surprise. They knew the government failed big time in helping them out in a desperate situation.
Mm-hmm. There was the overwhelming difficulty and perception that nobody was in charge. And that is spelled out pretty clearly in this report.
Yeah, the person who ran the operations center for the Department of Homeland Security testified just last Friday before the Senate committee that he decided not to tell Chertoff and President Bush that there were reports of levee breaches and terrific flooding in New Orleans because the reports were a little bit confusing, and he wanted to give out accurate information. Well, one of the Senate investigators said he probably should have just turned on his TV, and he wouldn't have had no doubts of what was happening in the city of New Orleans, at least.
One of the most chilling conclusions, in fact, it says that we continue to be an analog government in a digital age.
That seems to be my perception as well from reading the reports and just hearing the complaints of folks who had to live through that awful ordeal. Just communications just fell apart. The response was so late, and so many people suffered for so long. It really breaks your heart.
We're going to get more specifics in a minute, but it says if 9/11 was, as the 9/11 Commission report famously said, a failure of imagination, the response to Hurricane Katrina, it says, was a failure of initiative, meaning a failure of leadership.
Absolutely, and implementation. I mean, we did have some assets available to us, and for reasons I still don't fully understand, we didn't take advantage of an awful lot of them.
Mm-hmm. And it does lay primary blame at the foot of the federal government, which it says cannot allow confusion to get in the way of doing something for people who need it. On the other hand, it also says, hey, you can't go across the sovereign lines of cities and counties and states.
No, there was a reluctance to step on the toes of the mayor of New Orleans and the governor of Louisiana. But, you know, when people are suffering, they want help, and they don't really care who's providing it and whose toes are being stepped on.
Mm-hmm. FEMA, it says, or at least DHS, and by this I think it does mean FEMA, was entirely too passive, waiting for things to come to it rather than trying to, this was something, as the report says, brilliantly and accurately forecast 5 days in advance.
Everybody knew it was coming, at least, maybe not precisely where, but that it was on its way. And what boggles my mind is then having all these reports out there and the person in the operations center deciding that reports are a little bit too confusing to pass on to Chertoff and the president. I'm sure they would have appreciated the information, as sketchy as it might have been at that time.
Well, they might now.
They might now.
Yes. Again, if you'd like to join us, 800-989-8255 or send us email talk@npr.org. Let's get a caller in from Mike. Mike calling from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Hi. How you doing?
All right. You're on the
Thanks
air, Mike.
Thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead.
I don't think there's any doubt that the federal officials were a little negligent in getting into action, but I think politicians seem to be very reluctant to criticize the intended first responders in this case, which are the city and state governments, who seem to just do absolutely nothing to respond to the crisis.
They certainly didn't do it.
Government.
I think there's a widespread agreement that not enough was done, not enough preparations were done on the local and the state level. On the other hand, this was such a massive event. They would argue that they were just unprepared to deal with all the implications, all the people who needed help at the same exact time.
They were just overwhelmed.
Overwhelmed, yes.
Yeah.
Well, I think they were overwhelmed, but I think one of the issues is the level of preparedness that we expect the federal government to take in this case, one where, A, be prepared to just ignore city and state efforts and just take from day one, and B, prepare in all cases for the worst-case scenario.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to hang up and just listen to you talk about it.
All right. Bruce Alpert, Mike, does seem to have hit a sensitive spot.
Absolutely.
What do you do?
I don't know if there is an easy answer to that. When you have such a massive disaster, I don't. It may be beyond the ability of any level of government to take on. On the other hand, we do have a federal government. We have a massive military. We have a large federal emergency management agency, and that's why one of the reasons we have them. And one would have hoped they would have been better utilized, at least in the days immediately following the hurricane.
Mm-hmm. One of the criticisms in the report suggests that officials at all levels, not just the federal level, but officials at all levels were sort of waiting for the disaster that they had prepared for, as opposed to going out and dealing with the disaster they had.
Yeah, nobody expected people to be stranded in the Superdome without bathroom facilities, without adequate food and water, and they didn't seem to be able to, you know, they seem to be saying to themselves, well, we should have enough water and food there, we should have the generators, but they just weren't there and they didn't adjust quickly enough.
And not in a curious way, it says there was no shortage of plans. Everybody had a plan ready. The problem was that they didn't execute it.
No, and we even studied, the government did, through the so-called Hurricane Pam exercise only a year or two before. Many of these scenarios were, in fact, predicted. My colleagues, John McQuaid and Mark Schlefstein of the New Orleans Times-Picayune, wrote a chilling story, it's much more chilling now, about what would happen if we got hit with the big one, and I wish they weren't so accurate.
just to remind people, the hurricane, that was a hypothetical hurricane, what would happen if, and it turned out to be frighteningly close to what actually did happen.
For once, the government had it pretty well right in that exercise.
Let's see if we can get another caller on the line. This is Joshua. Joshua calling from Rochester, Minnesota.
Yes, that's me.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to say that, you know, it's been a consistent factor in our policy that nobody wants to spend money on a disaster that may or may not happen rather than, you know, paying for a smaller class size or more policemen, more firemen, more libraries, et cetera. Those are things that have real immediate constituencies. There's very little constituency out there for a hurricane that may come. And so I think it was completely predictable that something like this was going to come down the line eventually.
Was it lack of money, lack of resources, Bruce Alpert, that this report targets?
One of Chertoff today said that he would hire, I think it was 1,500 additional permanent employees. One of the problems is FEMA relies a lot on contractors, and I've heard from a lot of folks in Louisiana and some of the public officials that these contractors weren't all that familiar with how FEMA worked, what the regulations were, what the rules were. Many of these people would get frustrated themselves with the tough conditions they were working under. They would quit. New people would come in, and they had to learn how the system worked. So perhaps we did not have enough personnel, at least at FEMA, to respond.
But I think Joshua's question really had to do with preparations for the years ahead. Yeah, we know it might come, but we're not going to spend money on this.
Yeah, it's hard to
get other priorities.
Michael Brown testified that he should have called out for the military the day before the hurricane arrived, but he said he was worried that if the hurricane took a different course and it didn't cause as much damage, he would be second-guessed for spending all that money. Well, I think he wishes, and many folks in Louisiana and Mississippi wish he had actually followed through on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so I the caller certainly makes a very good point.
The levees there were, only good enough for Category 3, apparently, and the Gulf Coast has been getting hit by hurricanes for years and years and years. So,
well, they weren't actually.
Somebody figured that a Category 4 or Category 5 was going to come down the pike eventually, but mm-hmm. nobody wanted to spend the money to upgrade the levee.
No, it's very expensive, but they didn't even build the Category 3 levees to deal with a Category 3 hurricane, unfortunately,
and
it turns out.
Nor did they have the administrative apparatus to actually know what was going on with the levees.
No. We the oversight was spread among a bunch of levee boards, and the Corps of Engineers was had a lot on their plate, and no, we weren't kept up to date on the levees, the maintenance, and the needs to upgrade them, as it turns out.
I just think it's very politically opportunistic for the people now to say that there was some sort of big failure at the time, when the reality is the failure occurs beforehand when they fail to prepare. And I would like to see somebody stand up and say, well, gee, I was in favor of larger class sizes, fewer policemen on the streets, fewer firemen, fewer other government subsidies, et cetera, and in favor of spending more money on hurricane preparedness. Nobody can honestly say that.
We'll await that rare politician, Joshua. Thanks very much.
I don't think anybody can honestly get up and say that. So I think, saying, now that somebody did something wrong, everybody did something wrong.
Joshua, thanks very much. We're going to have more after the break. 800-989-8255 if you'd like to join us. talk@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. We'll be back after the break. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're talking today about a congressional report that blames government at all levels for mishandling relief in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. Homeland Security Chief Michael Chertoff today defended his department against critics who charged the agency was more concerned with threats of terrorism at the expense of natural disasters like Hurricane Katrina. Chertoff also announced broad changes to FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. And we're talking about a report today by a Republican-led House committee which charged the government with failure to respond to hurricanes in a timely fashion. Our guest is Bruce Alpert, Washington-based reporter with the New Orleans Times-Picayune. If you'd like to join us, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. The email is talk@npr.org. And Bruce, before we go on, this was a Republican-led effort, a select committee, a bipartisan committee, but Democrats had problems with it.
Democrats, for the most part, boycotted the proceedings. They argued there should be an independent commission similar to the commission that investigated the 9/11 terrorist attacks. And the committee proceeded. A few Democrats participated sort of on an ad hoc basis and, in fact, published their own findings to react to the Republican majority's report.
The Republicans aren't speaking today because this report is not official. It's not officially published until Wednesday. What we're talking about is a leaked version of the report. We will be speaking with one of those Democrats a little bit later in the program. As we mentioned earlier, there are changes proposed to the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Richard Falkenrath was Deputy Homeland Security Advisor to President Bush and joins us now from a studio at the Brookings Institution here in Washington, D.C. And thanks for joining us today.
Happy to be here, Neil.
And I wonder if you could outline for us some of the reforms that Michael Chertoff has proposed and your response to them.
Well, the main reform is to increase the staff at FEMA. He wants to add 1,500 new full-time federal emergency coordinators, and I think that's pretty obviously needed. Mm-hmm. FEMA's always been fairly short-staffed, and they could use the extra people. There's been strong growth in FEMA's budget since 9/11. It's up 40% since 9/11, and the president's budget for 2007 wants to increase it by another 10%. My sense is that that will probably end up going up a little bit higher over the next year or two.
Mm-hmm. And what about proposals that it's past time for FEMA to be taken out of the Department of Homeland Security and put back on its own?
There are those ideas floating around. I personally don't support them. I don't think the experience in New Orleans with Katrina really makes that case. If we were to take FEMA out of DHS, you'd have a lot of additional problems related to the reorganization. Again, you would have a situation where you've got two stovepipe response mechanisms, one's for certain kinds of natural disasters like hurricanes and another one for terrorism. All the experts, I think, recognize that that is a bad idea. And finally, this idea that FEMA was so effective, so powerful, so efficient while it was an independent agency, in my opinion, is really a myth. I think a lot has been made of the successful tenure of James Lee Witt when it was an independent agency. But we shouldn't assume that the sort of failures that we'd seen, that we saw in New Orleans with Katrina, would not have happened if FEMA was an independent agency. I think it would have.
Bruce Alpert, let me bring you back into the discussion here. Does the report suggest anything about FEMA's embeddedness within Homeland Security? Does that identify that as a problem?
If it does, it's not on the portions that I was granted permission to look at. It's a 600-page report, and I think I saw about 10% of that.
So I
don't know if they address that issue at all.
And what about this idea that it is FEMA and DHS in general, more than FEMA, too focused on terrorism rather than natural disaster?
Well, that's certainly what Michael Brown said. I mean, he felt it was so preoccupied with terrorism that he felt it would have been a waste of time to even contact the DHS secretary and let him know what he was doing, what he needed, and the status of the disaster. I think that's kind of amazing testimony that you're not even keeping your boss clued in on what you're doing, what's happening. He argues that as an independent agency, the FEMA head would have the ability to go to the Office of Management and Budget and to the president and argue directly for the resources needed. And as part of a larger agency, he and other FEMA officials didn't have that opportunity.
And Richard Falkenrath, this is Michael Brown speaking after the fact, of course, and of course, after he has left government, much more critical than he was when he was still head of FEMA.
Yes, that's right. He has made this claim. He doesn't have a whole lot of credibility left. His reputation is really tarnished badly by the Katrina experience. I think there was a lack of leadership attention in the federal level as the hurricane was coming towards New Orleans. The House report, the excerpts that we have seen, are pretty good in documenting that the senior officials from the president through the deputy secretary at DHS really weren't paying the sort of attention that they probably should have. And I think that's a fairly inescapable conclusion. Now, is it because they were overwhelmingly focused on terrorism? I'm not sure. I think it probably had more to do with the fact that they'd lived through quite a number of hurricanes prior to Katrina, and none had hit an urban area, and none had caused this sort of damage. And so they had a sort of hurricane fatigue or hurricane complacency.
Let's get another caller on the line. This is Dean. Dean calling us from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air, Dean. Go ahead, please.
Oh, sorry. It seems to me that, we keep talking about who we're going to blame, the federal, the local, the state government, and there certainly seems to be enough of that blame to go around. But nobody wants to talk about the responsibility of the people on the ground. We've heard now that Amtrak trains were leaving New Orleans empty and that Greyhounds were leaving New Orleans empty. And, Mary Chapin Carpenter even has a song out, about the hurricane parties every time it blows in New Orleans. Don't you think that there was a little bit of arrogance by the New Orleans people that, hey, we've been through this a billion times before and we're going to take it one more time. Mm-hmm. And then they got cold cocked and didn't know what to do.
On the other hand, I think something like 80% of the city did leave. But Bruce Alpert.
Yes, most of the city did leave. I'm sure there were people who could have left and chose not to, figuring that it wouldn't be as bad as the National Weather Service was predicting. On the other hand, there are lots of poor people in the city who don't have transportation, probably couldn't even afford a train ticket, and were unable to take the initiative to leave on their own.
And Richard Falkenrath, the report does cite failures at every level, individual included. It goes on, interestingly to me, to corporate failures, of course, but also philanthropic failures. But anyway, the report does not leave out individual responsibility, it seems to me.
That's right. And I was glad to see that section in the report. They talk about individuals not doing what they were supposed to, including individuals who were in charge of what we call special needs populations, people with disabilities, people in elder care homes, who some of whom were left there to die. And these are really individual failures. There were people who were in charge of the safekeeping of these elderly folks or special needs people who failed to take care of them. And that's just really inexcusable.
And Bruce Alpert, this is, again, lumped under the lack of initiative the report continues to find.
I mean, some of the defenses is it's a hard thing to do to move elderly patients of a nursing home. It's traumatic. It could set people back. And that's certainly true. But in the end, there's no excuse for leaving people stranded with floodwaters approaching and waiting days for rescue. Just no excuse at all.
Well, and further, Bruce, I mean, the report is very good at zeroing in the problem on metropolitan New Orleans. The whole Gulf Coast, it says, did fairly well. They took care of the populations that need to be evacuated. And elsewhere in Louisiana, in Alabama, and Mississippi, it was metropolitan New Orleans that really failed.
Dean, thanks very much for the call. Let's turn now to Fred. Fred is calling us from Winona, Minnesota.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
I work for the Department of Homeland Security, federal security agent, and the problem that we find here on the ground is that the Bush administration has attempted to make all of the agencies in the Department of Homeland Security exempt from nepotism. The entire Department of Homeland Security is riven through with nepotism. We have everybody's idiot cousin and incompetent brother-in-law running the show, and those of us who are professionals down here on the ground are getting fed up with it. We can't do what we need to do to get the job done, and we all look bad because these boobs on top can't do their job. Their only qualification is political ideology and that they're somebody's fraternity brother. And that's the major problem that's going on, right? And you'll notice that in all of these hearings, nobody asks the people down on the ground who have to get the job done what happened. It's always the people on top who get information third hand, who don't know what the hell is going on. Mm. And until Congress starts talking to the people on the ground who do the job, nothing is going to change, because this administration has recreated the spoil system and they're out to destroy the government. It's as simple as that, and that comes from those of us who work down here on the ground where the work gets done. Thank you.
Thanks very much for the call, Fred. Richard Falkenrath, I'm sure he meant present company excluded.
Well, I'm not in the government anymore, and maybe he wouldn't have excluded me if I were still in the government. Look, I think he goes too far. There are many people who are qualified for their jobs who are working very hard at the Department of Homeland Security and elsewhere in the federal government. There are some who are not. There's no question that there have been appointees in the federal government who lack the sort of professional qualifications that we'd like to see. I frankly think that Secretary Chertoff is qualified for his job. He, I'm sure, wishes he had more experience with natural disasters prior to assuming office, but he's a very, very capable senior federal official. One thing to watch out for is who is appointed as the next FEMA director. Right now, we don't have one. The position is vacant, and the president's going to need to fill it pretty soon. I hope and expect that it is a first-class emergency management professional.
Mm. Richard, Bruce Alpert, what about that other part of the criticism we just heard? Did, as far as you can tell, investigators for Congress talk to people on the ground, or did they just talk to other senior officials?
They did, or at least they say they talked to people on the ground. I don't know whether they talked to enough of them. I don't know if the people on the ground felt that they could talk candidly about what problems they were facing. Oftentimes, employees feel that they can't tell all they know because they might face repercussions. And
for another perspective, we turn now to Congressman William Jefferson, a Democrat from Louisiana. He and a fellow Democratic Congressman, Charlie Melanson of Louisiana, issued a supplementary statement to the House Committee's probe into Katrina. Congressman Jefferson joins us now by phone from his office in New Orleans. Thanks very much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you. You're very welcome.
And as I understand it, you feel this report did not go far enough.
No, it didn't go far enough at all. the main problem with FEMA is a lack of focus on natural disasters and a lack of capacity and professionalism to deal with these issues. We believe that we didn't get a full story of what happened because we had difficulty getting all of the information that would have given the committee a good picture of what happened just before landfall of the storm and what happened just after, how officials interacted with these.
There were several witnesses you wanted to hear from who were not made available, documents that were not provided.
Absolutely. A lot of information we wanted from the White House and from other agencies we didn't get, and we still don't have it.
And without that information, without that testimony, you feel...
hard to make a full assessment of what went wrong. And no one is interested in what went wrong for the purpose of pointing fingers, at least I'm not. We're interested in what went wrong for the purpose of correcting it for the next time, because the next time is just a few months down the road, perhaps.
We should mention again that Republican members of the House investigation are declining to comment on this report until it's released officially on Wednesday. House Democrats boycotted the probe for the most part?
Well, the House Democrats were calling for an independent 9/11 type commission to investigate this. And there was some hope that would be the majority would be pressured into doing that if the Democrats didn't go along with this internal committee. Leadership of the House steadfastly refused to an 9/11 type commission. So consequently, the leadership on our side that there would be complying with the committee that was put together inside the House, except that those of us who were from the most affected areas, everyone understood we could not stand apart from it. And so, with the leave of our leader and others, we, Charlie Malone Stone, Gene Taylor, and I participated in the with the committee.
Now, you represent a district which includes New Orleans. I'm sure your constituents have not had a chance to read any part of this report as yet, but do you fear that they're not going to be satisfied with the results of this inquiry?
Well, the biggest issue, if people had an idea that the Homeland Security Department understood that planning was critical for this next hurricane season, and if they were showing us that they had taken some real steps on preparedness for it, as opposed to just moving a few chairs around and talking about logistical things, mm-hmm. then I think our people could be better assured that we would have a chance to meet the next round of challenges from natural disasters with a lot more effect. I do believe that even though they haven't read it, the biggest thing we're going to want to know down here is what have we done, what have we done, and what have they done to put themselves in a better position to plan and prepare for the next round of natural disasters as far as these hurricanes.
William Jefferson, thanks very much for your time today.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
William Jefferson, a Democratic congressman from Louisiana who participated in the House committee hearings on Hurricane Katrina, joined us by phone from his office in New Orleans. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And I think Congressman Jefferson put his finger on a critical question. And let me put this to both you, Bruce Alpert, and to you, Richard Falkenrath. How much better are we prepared? It's not all that long before the next hurricane season begins. Why don't you go first, Bruce?
I don't think we know yet whether they've made adequate adjustments. Some of the things Chertoff suggested today, I think, will help. Certainly having more employees, full-time employees, to deal with natural disasters will be helpful. He's talked about improving communications, which failed so miserably after Hurricane Katrina. That would be a big help. Whether they'll all be ready in time, I don't know. They're also trying to get the levees back to at least handle Category 3 hurricanes. They say they're making progress. Whether they'll get there by June, the beginning of the hurricane season, I don't know.
Richard Falkenrath.
Well, for hurricane preparedness, I think we're probably not that much better prepared for the really extreme events, for the very high-intensity storms that hit directly on urban areas, particularly an urban area that lies below sea level. So, yes, if we have another Cat 5 direct hit on New Orleans, it's going to flood again. There's no question. Now, the government will undoubtedly move more swiftly to try to help the people, and hopefully more of the people will have been evacuated just because of the heightened attention mm-hmm. that will be paid. But the underlying capabilities of the federal government to respond are not much enhanced since Katrina. I mean, it's going to take a long time to build up those capabilities beyond what they are.
And given your experience with government, does it seem like any of the reforms talked about by Michael Chertoff today are going to be up and running by hurricane season?
Well, no, certainly the hiring will not be up and running by hurricane season. I mean, even the president's budget for 2007 doesn't even begin until October of this year. So, and then the money doesn't get spent for another year. The lags are very long. It'll be interesting to look at the White House review when it comes out. You know, there's a parallel study that was conducted by the president's Homeland Security Advisor, Fran Townsend. I understand she's done with it, has briefed the president on it, and intends to, you know, release some version of it pretty soon. And it will be really interesting, I think, to see how her assessment lines up with the two congressional inquiries that have gone on and what sort of recommendations come of that. I have a feeling that Chertoff's recommendations today are only a small piece of what the federal government will do across the all agencies.
And we're, of course, still waiting a publication of the Senate report because they're still holding hearings. I think they're holding hearings even today. Anyway, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll take more of your calls and email questions on this point. And also, Nina Khrushcheva will join us to talk about her great-grandfather's secret speech 50 years ago this month. It's the talk of the nation from NPR News. Today we're winding up our conversation about a congressional report leaked to the media that faults all levers of government, individuals, corporations, and philanthropists for mishandling relief efforts before and after Hurricane Katrina. Our guests are Bruce Alpert of the Times-Picayune. He's with us here in Studio 3A, and Richard Falkenrath, former Deputy Homeland Security Advisor to President Bush, now a visiting fellow at the Brookings Institution. Let's see if we can get another caller on the line. This is Sherry. Sherry calling us from Augusta, Georgia.
Yes.
Hi, Sherry. Go ahead. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Please go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm calling to respond to some of the comments that I heard on the radio. It was very disturbing. My family and I, we are Hurricane Katrina victims. We used what money we had to pay a bill to make our way out to Georgia to get our family to safety. We have four kids. It's not exactly easy. The caller that called from South Carolina, I believe it was, made the comment that people on the ground, individuals, it was their responsibility to get to safety. Until you lived in New Orleans, you don't know what it is. Most of the time, you get a call saying that we have a mandatory evacuation, it's time to go. And when you do, you wind up wasting a whole bunch of money that you really don't have, fall behind on bills, and there's no way to get, you know, you get your family out for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, I mean, thank God that we did get out, but not everybody had those resources to evacuate that city. And then our jobs would not let us go until a mandatory evacuation was called. So you only had a couple of hours to get home, pack yourself up, pack the kids up, and then leave town. And there's a huge traffic jam by then.
Mm-hmm. Bruce Alpert, Sherry is certainly not the only one in her situation. And I think the report also talks about this horrible bit of timing that the hurricane hit right at the end of the month, where people were especially short of money.
Yeah, at the end of the month, a lot of folks.
Exactly. And it is a lot of poverty-stricken areas in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And from my point of view, being born and raised in New Orleans, I say that my state officials are first to blame because they're the ones that live there. They're more familiar with the city, the levees, with all the money and taxes that New Orleans take in. Something should have been done way ahead of time to help people out.
I believe they come in for their share of the blame in this report, Sherry. But thanks very much for the call, and good luck to you and your family.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Let's see if we can get one more caller in. This is Jeff. Jeff calling from Sonoma in California.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a former high-level manager within the city of Chicago's bioterrorism preparedness program, and we got involved in that soon after 9/11 when a lot of money came into state, local chess. Anyway, what I wanted to say was that you got to think about the mission in these situation. When Katrina went down, I wasn't surprised to see what happened, because the mission is not, it should be about saving lives, mitigating death and destruction, but the mission really is about power, money, ego, making sure that people or other groups don't see that you don't really know what you're doing. That because the cover-ups, that really, in my perspective, from my point of view, is the mission, where the mission, again, should be saving lives, should be mitigating death and destruction. But really, it's confused, and it's human fallibility that really, you know, makes it a situation where people are more concerned about the power, the ego, the money, mm-hmm. not looking bad. And again, that was my perspective at a local level.
Richard Falkenrath, let me put this to you. Jeff, I think, is describing sort of bureaucratic truths that I think resonate with a lot of people.
Well, I think that's right. I mean, these are human beings, men and women in these jobs with these responsibilities. And what we saw with Katrina is many of them did not perform at the level or in the way that we, the public, expect them to. And for that, they need to be held to account. And investigations like the one that the Congress is conducting are part of that. But when you get right down to it, the government vests powers and authorities in people, in individuals, in the president and his various appointees at the federal level. And those are the ones you got to look to say, why didn't this happen? This is also true at the state and local level, where maybe the powers are not as great and the egos are not as huge. But there are a lot of failures at the state and local level that have essentially personal explanations. Some individual, for instance, had the idea to send buses to the Superdome rather than out of town in New Orleans. That is a failure documented in this report. And responsibility for that locates down to a select few people who actually were in the job at the time and had to make that call.
Richard Falkenrath, thanks very much for being with us today.
You're welcome.
Richard Falkenrath was former Deputy Homeland Security Advisor to President Bush, now a visiting fellow at the Brookings Institution. He joined us from a studio there. By the way, Jeff, thank you very much for the call. I forgot to thank you as well.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. And you're right, I just may add, it is about people. So, I mean, this is not going to ever be perfect. This is going to be messy. But I think we need to be honest with ourselves, our governments, ourselves. We need to be honest that there are other things underlying a lot of these conversations that are human in nature, and we need to address those things if we're really going to truly be able to respond and truly prepare for these types of disasters in the future.
And to also be fair, the report goes out of its way to mention that there were an awful lot of people who were heroes, who took initiative and did the right thing in all of this, just not enough and not in the right places. But anyway, Jeff, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
And Bruce Alpert, any response to this yet from New Orleans other than what we heard from Congressman Jefferson?
We're not hearing a lot yet. I think it's so much after the fact and so much that people knew in their heart was true that government screwed up that you're not going to get an overwhelming response.
Bruce Alpert, thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Bruce Alpert, a reporter with the Times-Picayune, who's based here in Washington, D.C.